very good day to you all. Welcome back to Eye on La Liga, a little bit of extra time. I said it wouldn't be happening, but my goodness, how I am eating my words this Thursday morning. Barcelona, incredible last night with their comeback. 4-0 down on aggregate going into the second leg at the Camp Nou against PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. And nobody really gave them a chance. Although I will say last week, I did think if anybody can do it, Barcelona will do it. But in that style, 6-1, Sergio Roberto's 95th minute volley to put the Catalan Giants through into the next knockout stage of the Champions League. And I'm delighted to say here on Marcus Extra Time to talk about that. And of course, Real Madrid's victory against Napoli in Italy on Tuesday night. Two of the finest minds Marca has to offer. First and foremost, Ewan McTair joining us on the show. Ewan, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good. Still can't quite believe what happened last night, but yeah, we'll try to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, a shock, I think, is putting it mildly. And as well, joining us on the show today, Mr. Jason Pettigrove, writer and editor at marca.com/EN. Jason, how are you, mate?
I think I'm just getting my breath back. Unbelievable. I mean, there aren't enough superlatives to describe what we saw last night. But as Ewan just said, let's dive into it and see where we think it was won and lost.
I like that. There are no words to describe it. So on a podcast, we're kind of stuck with it, really, aren't we? let's dive into Barcelona then. That's really the main talking point and the reason why we're on here today. I can't believe I said last week, we won't need an extra time unless Barcelona do this, Jason. And I mean, was there any point where you think Barca fans and Barca as a club gave up hope last night, first and foremost? Because when Cavani scores just to kill off that fight back, that you still didn't feel that the Camp Nou actually gave up on the idea of Barca getting another 3-1 as it was on the night at that time, and needing then a sixth to be able to go through to the next round. You never quite felt that the ground itself, the fans, kind of gave up on their chances.
Which that in itself is incredible, isn't it? I mean, I think there was 97,000 in the stadium, and when you consider they're 4-0 down effectively and one goal should kill the game, 97,000 in the ground, completely behind the team from start to finish, which I think probably had a real positive effect on the team. But as you just said, when Cavani scores, that's probably where the game's lost, in fact, from PSG's point of view, because we had the image, didn't we, of Angel Di Maria sort of shushing the crowd. And I think, you know, if you looked at their celebrations after that goal, including Unai Emery, PSG, for all intents and purposes, were in the quarterfinals. Yes, it took another sort of, I think, 25 minutes after that before an incredible 7 minutes of play. But I think it's a mentality thing. I think rather than Barcelona winning, I think it was PSG losing it. You know, the 3 goals in the first sort of 50 minutes, just their mentality was all wrong. When you consider how well they played in that first leg, and particularly Rabiot last night, he lost so many balls. It was a really, I think it was a poor performance by both teams, in fact. And it's just, you know, with a home advantage, you know, Barcelona took the chances when they came.
You know what stands out for me in terms of Rabiot is when they had a short free kick just inside his own half, about 35, 40 minutes on the clock, I think it was, towards the end of the first half. And he just tried to play it backwards 5 yards and played it straight into the path, I think it was, of Neymar. And suddenly Barca were 3-2 going forward. And it was like, what is going on here in terms of the mentality? And I think you've nailed it square on the head there in terms of, look, Barca engineered an incredible fight back. Never say die attitude. But Ewan, I mean, this is a Paris Saint-Germain side that capitulated completely. It was, you know, when you see a team, to me, when they're 2 goals up, 1 goal up in the final 10 minutes, especially against a Barcelona side, and they sit back and sit deep, and you're saying, no, why are you doing that? Push out again. Do what you've done for the last 80 minutes or so that's got you into this position, rather than allowing Barca to come at you. But it was like that for a whole second leg suddenly last night from Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, I think you're both quite right when you say the third goal was, the third goal was almost maybe what shook their mentality. I mean, some people believed, and like Jason points out, the whole of the Camp Nou seemed to believe that the comeback was possible. And, you know, first of all, you compare that with Arsenal the night before. People were trying to sell tickets. People were trying to get tickets last night. And I think that tells you something about just how much belief there was that this Barcelona team can do it. But a lot of people did believe in the comeback, but I don't think anyone believed it was going to be 6-1. What's most incredible about this is that they really had to do two comebacks. I mean, I think everybody thought, okay, they could maybe muster up a 4-0, take it to extra time and try their luck there. I don't think anyone assumed that they would be able to do it if PSG scored, and I think that includes PSG. All the talk before the game was, if PSG get one, that kills the game. And I think the PSG players seemed to believe that too, as we've just discussed from looking at the way they celebrated that one goal. And, they maybe had a point. I mean, no one really expected Barcelona to get three more goals, but you kind of have to plan for that when you are playing, probably one of the best front threes ever.
I think if you look at the formations as well, I mean, Emery started with a 4-5-1. I think he kept that for most of the game, which is, that's overly defensive for him. And that suggests to me, incredibly, being 4-0 up, that it was almost a damage limitation exercise, that they perhaps thought Barcelona were going to win, but not obviously by the score they did. Enrique, you have to doff your cap to him. 3-1-4-2 formation, very innovative. It allowed Busquets to sort of sit in front of Piqué. He had options either side. And, again, Barcelona weren't at their best. It was far from vintage Barcelona. If you'd have said before the game, Pep's Barca at their peak would turn it around, probably people, they may have nodded in agreement. The way Barcelona had played before the Sporting game, before the Celta game, you wouldn't have believed this would have happened in a million years, but you have to give credit to Enrique and obviously to the team for getting through it. It's just unbelievable.
You have to say Luis Enrique did predict this. I don't want to say he's too much kind of getting his inner Nostradamus out, but his quote, "Going into a game in a positive mood, if a team can score four against us, we can score six against them." I mean, these sorts of lines are just absolute gems when they come out in the kind of aftermath of these things. Doesn't look tired anymore, does he? Luis Enrique, as he was dancing around on the pitch. One final thing I really, really want to bring up on this is the manner of the penalty that was given for Barca, tucked away by Neymar, but Luis Suarez brought down by Marquinhos. Even if you are the most adamant Barcelona fan, you cannot say that that was a dive, surely. I mean, even if we're getting into the realms of there's contact,
There
and
is
I'm talking about the touch on the shoulder,
no, no, there is contact. There is
there is a
contact.
pause, and Suarez almost jumps and goes down.
Let's be clear. Let's take the two penalties first of all. The first penalty where Messi scores, that's never a penalty for me. I think it was Meunier who slips. Neymar leans into him and flips over the top of him. The ref clearly motions to Neymar to get up. It's not a penalty. And it's the assistant behind the goal that gives the penalty. Now, I've never known a behind the goal assistant to give anything. So for such a big play, that in itself, I've never seen it. The other one, if you look at it from a certain angle, he does get clipped. He absolutely makes a meal of it. There's no two ways about it, no question about it. That side of the game, personally as a football fan, I can't stand. But there is an angle, if you look at it again, if you ignore what's going on above the waist and you look at what's happening sort of with the legs, Marquinhos, I think it's his right knee, catches Suarez, and that sort of causes him to clip his own heel and goes down. There's no need for the histrionics afterwards, but that is more of a penalty for me than the first one.
Wow, I didn't expect to hear that one. Did not expect to hear that one. If anything, because a lot of people last night obviously going on social media about it, people saying that, if you're going to give one, you give that first one perhaps, and it was just the referees making a big hash of it that led to the kind of confusion around it. But the second one, certainly not. And that seems to be arguably the more debatable one on Twitter. But Jason going with the opposite way around, always going against the trend, against the grain of the wood, so to speak. Ewan, what about yourself in terms of Barcelona now? Is it the names kind of on the trophy for them after this sort of victory? I mean, bit of luck. Some might say a little bit of cheating. They kind of... It's written in the stars for Luis Enrique after being almost hounded out of the Camp Nou this season to walk away with the European Cup.
Yeah, I mean, if they can come back from 4-0 down against PSG, nobody is going to rule them out at this stage. But as we kind of just said, there were a lot of issues there in that game. They didn't play particularly well. They had to rely on, whether they were fair enough penalties or not. They had to rely on a couple of penalties to get a goal, a free kick as well. These are kind of things that are a little bit harder to replicate going forward. And in the semi-finals, referees are even more iffy about pointing to the spot. So this doesn't mean that Barcelona are going to march on and claim the trophy. We've seen how many times momentum switched back and forth between them and Real Madrid and even Atletico at some points this season. So just because they're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, thrilled in the start of March, that doesn't mean they're going to be the ones that are in the best form come the end of April and the start of May. So I don't know. I think they could really, you know, push on, get to the semi-finals again, but I don't think they're going to win just because of last night's performance, because as we've kind of said, there were a lot of underlying issues that the PSG sort of let them away with.
Talking about the momentum swinging between Barcelona, Real Madrid and everybody, and let's talk about Real Madrid quickly from Tuesday night as well against Napoli. Ewan, I know you were keeping quite close attention to this one. That was a game that first 45 minutes you're thinking we're going to be in trouble here for Real Madrid as Spanish football fans, because Napoli came out of the blocks flying and had chance after chance after chance, and when Ronaldo rounds Reina and hits the post, and then Napoli got the other end and strike the frame of the goal themselves only a few minutes later, you really thought this was just going to slip away from Real Madrid and be one of those nights where things just don't go right on the night.
Yeah, it really did seem that way. And just like the Barcelona fans last night, the Napoli fans, they believed. I mean, they packed the stadium. There were far more than the 60,000 that were supposed to be there. They were making lots of noise. They'd been there for about 6 hours before kickoff. They believed, they were adamant that they were going to go through, and that really transmitted to the players with the way they started that game. And, you know, they were sort of on course, a little bit like Barcelona. You know, they kind of needed a goal every, quarter of the match, and they got one straight away. Napoli also scored really early in that match, and they only needed two. So that really fueled their momentum, if we're talking about momentum. And then when Ronaldo hits the post, you really do think it's going to be one of those Real Madrid nights. And it was one of those Real Madrid nights in the sense that Sergio Ramos popped up and does what he does and scores really important goals. And we were looking at this on the website on Marca yesterday, and of the 21 goals, last 21 goals he scored, 18 of them have come with Real Madrid losing or drawing. So he doesn't just pop up when it's 4-0 and get a little fifth goal of the match to round it off. He always scores when it matters. And yeah, it really did there. I mean, the second one, I think it's been taken away from him, put down as a Hamzic own goal, but
it's a bit harsh on Mertens, really, I think.
And Mertens, so it was, yeah.
Trying to get out of the way of it, and it's on target. And
yeah, it seems a strange one to take away. But either way, it's Real Madrid won't really be caring. And Ramos also, he doesn't really seem like the kind of guy who cares that it's his name on the score sheet. He seems like he just cares that it's potentially him lifting the trophy. So yeah, Real Madrid, it looked a bit sticky at times, but yeah, they did what they do with Ramos, and they're going to be in the next round too.
Sorry, Ollie, let me cut across you. I want to ask you in a question. When we talk about mentality, yeah, do you think again in that game that was the difference? Because once Ramos got that goal back, it seemed to me that sort of Napoli sort of came back within themselves, and you know, the sort of the fast attacking and you know, the crisp passing seemed to sort of go a bit all right after that, and you know, arguably let them back in. I know it was just, I think it was 6 minutes after the first goal when they got the second. But I just wonder, you know, we don't pay enough attention perhaps to how much sort of the mental side of the game is in play, particularly in these big games.
Yeah, I think that's the main big difference between Napoli's failed comeback and Barcelona's actual comeback was, as we were saying, you know, before the game, okay, Barcelona could get a 4-0, go to extra time. Napoli could win 2-0, they go through and away goals. And when PSG scored their goal, Barcelona didn't give up. I think when Real Madrid scored their first goal, Napoli gave up a little bit. The heads went down. And like you say, they kind of maybe didn't have the mentality. I'm sure they discussed it before the match. What do we do if we go one down? How do we make sure we get three? But I think a lot of some of the players and some of the fans as well, to be fair, because the atmosphere dipped a little bit after that. I think there was a belief that if Napoli were going to go through that game, it was going to be with a 2-0 win, not with a 3-1 and let's try extra time.
How does a player like Sergio Ramos just always, I mean, it's something that I'm sure we won't stop asking when he keeps on popping up and scoring these big important goals, but what is it about that sort of player? I mean, is that what makes him such a leader? Just the fact that he does turn up right place at the right time so often now?
I think, personally, he's just got a winning mentality. He does never give up. I find it incredible that he can keep getting in those positions without being challenged. You know, people know as soon as Real get a free kick in that kind of area or a corner kick, they know it's going to be either Modric or Cruz that's going to stick it right on his head. And yet Koulibaly and Albiol, they're just completely outjumped by him. You know, that's not to sort of do him a disservice. I mean, he's a great athlete. You know, he's worked on that since he was at Sevilla. But you would think opposition teams would have something about them. They know what's going to happen. You know, they've just got to shut him down. But, you know, again, fair play to Ramos. He's the leader. He's the captain. He's the one that arguably drives them forward. And, you know, they're still one of the favourites to lift the trophy.
Of course they are. Los Blancos will always be right up there with the favourites for winning the Champions League nigh on every year. Wasn't the best performance that we've seen from them, but getting the job done in Naples. Real Madrid and Barcelona through to the next knockout stage of the Champions League. And, of course, joining them, Dortmund and Bayern Munich 10-2. I mean, I'm not an Arsenal fan. We probably shouldn't bring up too much Premier League football or anything like that on this, but yeah, that was quite humorous to watch, to say the least, on Tuesday night, the highlights of that one. What about just in terms of the hangover, very briefly, because Real Madrid have Betis coming up on the weekend, gents. Obviously, the title race is well and truly on in Spain. Barcelona at Deportivo La Coruña. Do these results, particularly for Barcelona, do these leave that kind of that adrenaline drain suddenly? I doubt anybody in that Barca side was sleeping until about 5-6 o'clock this morning, after the rush of putting six and going through past Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, could bleed into the weekend slightly, or is this just something, you know, a Barca side's so well attuned to these sorts of evenings?
I think, again, a lot's going to come down to how Luis Enrique prepares the team going into the Depor game, because, I mean, I think they got a late 1-1 draw last night just before the Barcelona game kicked off. So, you know, on paper, I think they've, whenever they've played there the last couple of seasons, they've done very well. But it's a difficult one. They're on such a high. I mean, they've scored, 17 goals in 3 games. So they're playing really in terms of their goal scoring abilities at their very, very best at the moment. But all it needs is a result that could come at the weekend. It brings them crashing straight back down to earth again. And they've got, you know, the next 2 home fixtures of Valencia and Sevilla. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about Deportivo. I think it would have been a lot worse for Barcelona had they been knocked out against PSG. And we sort of spoke about this in the pod a couple of weeks ago that, you know, Barcelona were in great form in La Liga, but there was this kind of potential last 16 elimination waiting around the corner. So the fact they've avoided that means that they avoid this sort of sapping of momentum, and they should be able to keep it up. And I mean, Deportivo have done okay under Pepe Mel. They've got 4 points, but when you look at those 2 games, they've been really lucky in both of them. I mean, people are talking about the Pepe Mel effect. I think it was really the Jan Oblak effect, because against Atletico, I mean, their goal was just an absolute gift from the goalkeeper. And then against Sporting Gijón, they were outplayed for most of the game and somehow managed to win. So I think this is maybe the game where Deportivo come a little bit back down to earth as well.
It's unbelievable. You can never underestimate Pepe Mel's Deportivo La Coruña, surely, Ewan, after the way they've started under the new boss. Deportivo against Barcelona, Depor at home, of course, Sunday afternoon. Real Madrid at home against Real Betis on Sunday night in this weekend's La Liga fixtures. Thanks very much, gents, for joining us on Extra Time. As always, always a pleasure, never a chore. Just surprised that we were chatting this Thursday and not waiting until Monday. Thanks a lot, Ewan, mate. Always appreciate the time.
No problem. Cheers for having me on.
And Jason, as well for you, mate. No, it was a late one last night covering the Barca game, so very much appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. Thanks, Ollie.
Cheers, guys. We'll be back on Monday with the podcast, perhaps even next Thursday as well, if Atletico Madrid get knocked out of the Champions League. I'm not making any more predictions, though. So until next Monday, enjoy the football over the weekend. Marca.com/EN. Marca.com/EN is where you can find Jason, Ewan, and everybody else who features on the podcast's musings about the world of Spanish football. Marca in English on Twitter, @MarcaInEnglish on Twitter. That's all one word. And of course, you can get on Facebook as well. Just type in Marca in English into Facebook and that will take you to the appropriate page. So like and subscribe on iTunes and Audio Boom to the podcast Eye on the Liga. Just type in Eye on the Liga on iTunes and Audio Boom and you'll be able to find us. And until Monday, have a very good weekend indeed.